Previously on This Is Real.
I've never seen this in any of my other cases, and I was actually couldn't believe what I was seeing, and it was so rampant all across the district.
The home healthcare investigation worked by Agent Lewis was growing more and more complex. Beneficiaries, patient recruiters, doctors, multiple home healthcare companies. It seemed as if everyone was involved in some aspect. And like a sturdy oak, the roots of the scheme kept spreading. But connecting all the dots proved to be a major challenge. Agent Lewis needed someone on the inside to verify the fraud she was seeing on the outside and finally bust the scheme. But she couldn't get anyone to flip, so she decided to bring in Agent Rogers to go undercover.
I got a call from my colleague who was working a home health agency case, and it stemmed from allegations that there was some billing for beneficiaries in homeless shelters. I thought this was a great opportunity for me to go out there, and I looked at it as a challenge. I was very excited. I was ready to get in and dig in and just do something totally different.
The plan was to infiltrate the criminal network as a homeless person and collect evidence against the alleged fraudsters. With any luck, he could find a way to obtain the information Agent Lewis needed for her case. Now, Agent Rogers was a seasoned veteran with over 20 years' experience in law enforcement. But this was his first time going undercover as a homeless person, so I wanted to find out how he prepared for his covert operation.
When you went undercover and you were preparing for it, did you like watch TV shows or movies of undercover people? And if so, like, who did you try and emulate, or who are you trying to look at to get some tips?
Well, you know, it's interesting you asked that, but I just wanted to kind of be myself, though. And I think, you know, there's no better person to be than be yourself while you're out there.
Agent Rogers said he was intrigued by the case, namely the involvement of the homeless in a home health scam.
And that kind of stood out. I mean, homeless shelters with no home, but they're billing for home health.
He knew that going undercover as a homeless person presented many challenges. He was about to go into a completely unfamiliar and unpredictable environment, so mental preparation was key.
How can I even have bring up a conversation with any of the individuals in the shelter? There was, you know, people talking to themselves and, you know, the various actions. So that was the challenging part right there initially.
Agent Rogers prepared himself for every situation he could think of, rehearsing every element of his new identity. He had to know his story and his purpose for being at the homeless shelter. He studied his name, his date of birth, the information on his Medicaid card. How would he act once he got into the homeless shelter? Who would he approach? What would he say? And what if someone called him out?
It was all about how can I fit in and how could I break the ice once I got in the shelter.
His first time out undercover, Agent Rogers prepared for a long day at the shelter because he really didn't know what was going to happen. I asked him what it was like inside. What were people doing? Was it crowded? What were the conditions? Thing is, he said everything happened so fast, he doesn't even remember much about the shelter itself, only that it took a few minutes to find what he was looking for.
I went into the shelter. I was able to. It didn't take me long. To talk to, I believe, a couple individuals. And I pretty much, you know, said, hey, I'm here. I understand I can make some money. I have a Medicaid card. And I was told I can make some money if I have a Medicaid card. You know anything about that? And I will say about 10 minutes later, I was approached. I was approached by a recruiter.
Give me the real, like, how did you really approach them? What'd you really say?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, man, what's happening, man? You know, I'm here. I got a Medicaid card. I'm looking to make some money. You know how I can make some money.
And just like that, you had people coming at you.
Just like that. And I had a person to approach me once I said that. It was very interesting. It didn't take long at all for someone to approach me. Just based on what I said there. And I was like, wow. I mean, I hit the jackpot.
Now, the person who approached you, was that a homeless person too, or?
No, actually, he was a recruiter. He was a recruiter who worked at a home health agency. So he was actually in the building at the time that I came there. It just worked out that way.
You're at a homeless shelter, and a guy is recruiting you for home health services.
Can you imagine that? With no home, man, I'm at a homeless shelter. And then that's how bold that's how bold they are.
Why do you think they chose a homeless shelter? I guess that's where the Medicaid recipients are? Or?
Yes, without a doubt. Most of the Medicaid, most of the people there at the homeless shelter are Medicaid recipients.
The patient recruiter asked Agent Rogers a series of questions, mostly relating to his Medicaid status. He took Rogers' Medicaid card and gave it to an accomplice, who verified that the card was valid and active. He then informed Agent Rogers that, yes, indeed, he could make some money with his Medicaid card. The whole scenario was moving fast. The recruiters, it turned out, they were efficient businessmen. These guys were on top of their game, and the operation was such a well-oiled machine that Agent Rogers was in and out of the homeless shelter in less than an hour. Before he knew it, he was on his way to a doctor's office with a recruiter. What happened next? Well, that even surprised the veteran agent.
It was unbelievable when I walked into the waiting room. It appeared to be about 20 to 30 people just sitting around. There were other people coaching these individuals as to what to do, what to say once you go into the doctor's office.
In the waiting room?
In the waiting room. So you can tell they were recruiters as well. So we talking about a number of recruiters bringing patients into this particular doctor's office so they can get the necessary paperwork certified and signed to get home health.
The patient recruiter coached Agent Rogers on what to say and how to act once he went into the examination room. He gave Agent Rogers a back brace and a cane as props for his fake illness. He never even asked Agent Rogers if he actually had a real illness or injury. In fact, they never even talked about why Agent Rogers was homeless in the first place. All that mattered was that Agent Rogers had an active Medicaid card.
He said, hey, when you walk in, definitely walk in with some ailment. Let them know that you have issues with your knee or your back. It's something to tell the doctor to qualify me to be able to get home health. Once I walked into the doctor's office, you know, I had to say, hey, I got my back, my knee, whatever the case may be, and, you know, I need home health. I need a home health aide to come to my home.
The home that you don't have.
The home that I don't have. The recruiter realized that. I mean, because as he filled out the paperwork, and, of course, on the paperwork it asked for an address. So I was like, hey, I'm homeless, man, you know. I don't have a home. And he said, well, oh, man, do you have a girlfriend? Do you have someone's address? I just need to put an address down here, you know. I had to be quick and think of an address. So I basically thought of an address right then and there to come up with as where my girlfriend lives.
In the doctor's office, Agent Rogers complained of back pain, and he played his part. The doctor did a limited physical exam, and then he wrote a prescription for Agent Rogers. Home health care, 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. All that from a doctor's visit that took less than 5 minutes. He wrote a script for 8 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Yes.
And you walked into, well, even with a cane, you walked into his office, so you were mobile, and he gave you basically, I mean, what kind of person would need that much care? I figure they could hardly do anything themselves.
Right. And that's the part we couldn't understand. I mean, why would this physician even sign off or order or qualify me for home health when he knew I pretty much walked in. Walked in whether I had a cane or a back brace, but he gave me the maximum that I can get, you know, because I'm not sure, but I believe that the recruiters were actually paying the physicians to give me the max.
Once he got the form signed and left the doctor's office, Agent Rogers met up with the patient recruiter outside.
He said, man, great job. Good job. At that point, I knew I got my foot in the door. I was on my way, and he paid me $60 just for the office visit.
And that was just the money the Medicaid recipient made. We may never know how much money other players made in the scheme. What we do know is that this one doctor's visit for Agent Rogers' quote-unquote back pain spurned tens of thousands of dollars in Medicaid spending for unnecessary home health services. As we learned in Episode 1, the annual cost to provide that amount of personal care prescribed to Agent Rogers was almost $50,000. On top of that, Agent Rogers was approached by at least 8 different patient recruiters, and he met them everywhere: liquor stores, parking lots, grocery stores, motels, even outside churches. He was promised up to $200 every few weeks for his role in the scheme. Of course, every cent he earned was placed into evidence. I was curious how much money Agent Rogers made while he was undercover, so I decided to give him a call back to find out. You're not going to believe his answer.
Well, I was actually paid $59, but I was promised, they promised to pay me between $200 and $250 every 2 weeks. That's what they promised me.
The recruiter's not only ripping off Medicaid, they're ripping you off too?
Yeah, I was ripped off. I was totally ripped off. They kept the money that they were receiving on my behalf by using my Medicaid card.
Some of the patient recruiters also encouraged Agent Rogers to do some recruiting of his own to earn more money for himself and his recruiters. But Agent Rogers wasn't in it for the money. His goal was to find a connection between the patient recruiters and the doctors. The thing is, it's like walking a tightrope trying to collect evidence without exposing your cover.
I think we kind of knew that these recruiters were actually paying the doctors. But how do you get up to the top? Very difficult for me because they wouldn't give me that type of information. I just wanted to first, just on my level, on the recruiter's level, be able to go in and then get the doctors to sign off on the forms. And I was thinking more so once we arrest the recruiters, bring them in, we were able to maybe flip the recruiters to give us that information to get up to the doctors. But I didn't want to pose too many questions to the recruiters because I didn't want to give myself up.
Because I'm sure that kind of puts you a little out of character.
Yes, that would definitely put me out of character. And I think that would have them thinking like, hey, this guy might be law enforcement.
You know, one of the things that Agent Lewis mentioned was that there was almost a feeling from the beneficiary point of view that what they were doing wasn't really illegal. The patient recruiters made it sound almost like, well, this is just part of the process. You go and get the stuff done, and then we give you cash. Did the patient recruiters, like, when they're trying to sell you on this, did they say anything like that or tell you what the scenario would be like?
I recall that when I met one of the recruiters at the motel, he was trying to justify why they were doing this. It was almost like I was entitled to be paid. And it was nothing wrong with it. He brought up he even said that, you know, you should be able to get a piece of the pie. So that's the approach that they were using. They didn't really, after a while, they didn't think they were doing anything wrong.
Agent Rogers was undercover for almost a year. He was constantly rehearsing his role and reminding himself what he told the patient recruiters. Agent Rogers was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because the patient recruiters would call at all times, day or night. He never wanted to get tripped up, which might have put himself in a dangerous position. As prepared as he was, there were still some close calls.
I recall going to a liquor store, actually, meeting a guy at the front of the liquor store, and he would get my information and my Medicaid card, but he would take it over to another guy who would also run my Medicaid number. And this guy kept looking at me and looking at me, and he was asking a lot of questions. I heard one of the guys say, "Wow, man, look at that car over there. Look like that could be a police car." And of course, you know, heart kind of, you know, turned around like, "Whoa, you know, that ain't no police car, you know." But I think at that point they might have spotted one of our my cover team's vehicle, and so that was, you know, that was interesting.
He was able to talk his way out of the situation, but it put his senses on high alert.
I'm quite sure if they found out I was an undercover agent, the circumstances wouldn't have been good. Situation wouldn't have been good, because I kind of seen my mean streak in these guys. I mean, you know, they were nice and all, but if they knew that I was indeed the police or an agent, I don't think the situation would have turned out well.
But it did turn out well. Agent Lewis got what she needed from Agent Rogers, and she could finally take the case to the prosecutor and begin the next phase, indict and arrest.
It's just very unfortunate that we had these type of individuals taking advantage of the system. I just have a passion for working these cases and bringing money back and saving money for the government, and especially for our most vulnerable individuals and our seniors. It's just a great feeling, very rewarding.
Next time on This Is Real, we wrap up the 2014 D.C. takedown. Who was arrested and who pled guilty? Who was convicted and who went to jail? And what happened to Florence Bakundi and those involved in her million-dollar scheme? Stay tuned for the final episode in the series. I'm Todd Silver. Thanks for listening.
This Is Real is produced by the Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Inspector General. The agency reminds you that if you suspect fraud, waste, or abuse in any HHS programs, including Medicaid or Medicare, report it to our hotline at 800-447-8477 or 800-HHS-TIPS. Visit oig.hhs.gov for more information. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and watch us on YouTube.